Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. I'm going to give an overview of the Billy Meier case this afternoon and maybe cover some new information that I'm studying as well. Billy has written over 39 books. He's had over 971 personal face-to-face contacts, 1,149 telepathic contacts. He's now a 78-year-old man that lives in Switzerland. He lives in a tiny mountain village called Hinterschmidruti, which is about 52 minutes east of Zurich. His 39 books and his 600 booklets that can range from one page to hundreds of pages describe his contacts with extraterrestrial humans. And his other writings, his books, talk about all the big questions in life and have all the answers for all the big questions, the best answers I've ever come across, the most logical information, things like, where are we from? What's the purpose of our life? What happened in our ancient past? Who built the megalithic and monolithic structures all over the earth? What's going to happen in our future? Who and what created our universe? What happens after we die? What are the other humans in our galaxy like? And how do they manage to travel from star system to star system with almost no time passing? These are just some of the very big questions that are answered by the incredible amount of information in the Meier case. And I like to start out in a writing that Billy did, which described an event in his childhood. And this writing is called How It All Began. And this was when Billy was about 4 years old, and he was living in Bulach, Switzerland. And he woke up at 3 a.m. one morning, and he crawled out a lower window in his bedroom, and he sat down on a bench, and he looked up at a starry sky. And he had a revelation. First of all, he heard his own voice say something. He said, "Since ancient times, I lived among the stars." And then he heard himself say, "My life exists because of the love of creation." And he looked up at this beautiful starry sky, and he also mentioned that he could sense an invisible light, which was this radiating love from creation. So what is creation? You know, the Meier material covers what I divide the Meier material up into roughly six categories of information. The first being, what is the creation, the universal consciousness? The Meier information doesn't really use the term God. In fact, it says that in ancient times, the original meaning of the word God was always for a human being that had incredible or unusual abilities. And in ancient times, there were gods on the earth. They were humans. The gods of the earth were human. They came from the expanse of the universe, from strange worlds and galaxies. And they demanded worship, and they created religions. And this is all described in a book called the OM, Omphale and Merado, or the Navel of Life. And I often trace some of these gods were described in what's called the lineage of the Giza intelligences, starting with one of these extraterrestrials named Eris the 11th, and going all the way down to Kamigal the 2nd. There was a whole series of these tyrannical extraterrestrial humans that used religion to attempt to control the people of the earth. And it's very interesting, if you study religion, monotheism, it began in Egypt. And it began with the worshippers of Ra or Aten, which sometimes called the sun god. Now, they didn't worship, in this case, an anthropomorphic deity, but they worshipped the life-giving properties of light. And there was a pharaoh in Egypt called Amenhotep IV, who eventually changed his name to Akhenaten. And that was where monotheism began. And ironically, according to my material, far below the Giza Plateau, the Giza intelligences started to use a kind of telenotic impulse to control the people of the earth. This group was called the Bafath, and they interacted with the Germans during roughly around the time of World War II, and they interacted with Hitler, and they created kind of religious visions, and they tried to control the people of the earth. I think these extraterrestrials, for some reason, had this real desire to kind of make the earth their own. And you can really trace them all the way back. I mean, I talked about Earth the 11th kind of being first of that lineage. And I think he was on the earth about 11,500 years ago. But his ancestor, 11 generations back, was Eris the Barbarian, who was one of the original kings of wisdom, or Ishwishes, that was here during the time of Atlantis and Lemuria. And he first conquered a group in Hyperborea. Hyperborea was in the North Polar region. And for whatever reason, the poles of the earth at that time were extremely moderate climates and extremely warm. So Hyperborea was almost like a tropical environment. And it was a continual summer all the time. And Eris's forces came here, and I believe they came here from Beta Centauri. Now, Beta Centauri had a different space-time configuration. And they conquered Hyperborea, and then Eris II, Eris's son, conquered the area of India and Pakistan. And at that time, we had the two great kingdoms on the earth, Atlantis and Lemuria. And they had managed to live in peace for thousands of years until this group came here and stirred up trouble. Well, they were forced off the earth originally, I think, and then they ended up coming back. And they ended up stirring up this great warfare between Atlantis and Lemuria. And I'll have to do shows on that again. But eventually, well, first the Atlanteans struck, and they wiped out Lemuria. And the Lemurians managed to bring back a rather large asteroid, and they put a propulsion device on it, an electromagnetic and nuclear propulsion device. And they sent it back towards the Earth, and it came into the atmosphere, and it made a horrible, horrific howling sound, and was generated incredible light and incredible heat. It eventually exploded in the atmosphere and rained down like thousands of shrapnel pieces of this asteroid. There were two great parts of the asteroid which slammed into the Atlantic Ocean like two fists and ripped out a big fissure in the floor of the Atlantic Ocean. And there was a giant tsunami. It was caused by this, and it just rushed forward and engulfed all of Atlantis. Before that happened, the Atlanteans had destroyed Lemuria entirely with these beam weapons they had on the ships. So the two great extraterrestrial cities, Atlantis and Lemuria, were destroyed in a great war in the ancient, ancient past. And we today are in a time called the third millennium. The Meyer Information talks about this 800-year period of transition that we're going through. And it's a transition in our awareness. It's a transition in our consciousness. Because we are a people with amnesia, as Graham Hancock says. We don't know who we are. We don't know where we come from. We don't know what the purpose of our life is. So as we slowly transition into a society that understands the creation and understands its purpose, and allegedly the Meyer Information will help that transformation occur, but it will take a long time. It'll take about 800 years. And during this 800-year period, it will be a time of maliciousness and confusion will spread across the earth. And our leaders will become megalomaniacal. They will greatly overemphasize their own importance. They will also take away people's rights of self-determination. And the people will become indolent and obtuse, slow to understand, annoyingly insensitive, and they will become indifferent towards one another. And this will set the grounds for the possibility for another third global conflagration, a repeat of the disaster that occurred during Atlantis and Lemuria. And in this war, we will certainly wipe ourselves out. We certainly have a capability anyway. And Billy was first told about the third millennium when he was a young boy, 5 years old, meeting with Svoth. And Svoth told him that when we dropped the atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, that we started this third millennium. And there's all these negative historical trends which are occurring in this time today. One of the things that's going to happen, and this will be very interesting to those of you who have studied the New World Order. Let's call it the New World Order. The Meyer Information in the Goblet of Truth calls it the Dark Order. And I'll read this section from the Goblet of Truth. It says, however, all the items named here only represent the start, because in secret there is a mighty organization of the governing class and a mightful ones, as well as many of their obedient lackeys, emerging from amongst your humanity, who are creating a secret order of darkness with their own evil laws and ordinances, who are bent on hatred for the poor and weak and against the economically imprisoned and all normal citizens. And it is their desire to seize ever more might, more money, and entire mastery over the whole earth and your humanity for yourselves. Therefore, it is spreading their evil supremacy over the world, supported by its obedient vassals of all kinds, who are greedy for blood as well as profit. Anyway, there is an organization that is coming out of our governing class that is referred to by the term the Secret Order of Darkness. The Dark Order wants to control the entire earth. And if you're a member of the alternative media, it's known to you as the New World Order. I would say that's probably safe to say. It's interesting to get these confirmations from the Meyer Information as well. But anyway, as a young boy, Billy was impulsed from the storage banks. And just like we have historical records, physical records that are of cultural value, the physical records that are stored in libraries and other such buildings, there is also a storage of information in the universe there are storage banks, universal storage banks, planetary storage banks. The German word for these is Speicherbank. And they're open, they're accessible, and Billy has the ability to pull information down from the storage banks. But we also get impulses from these storage banks as well. And an impulse is a signal. In medicine, we'll have the electrical impulse, which goes from the brain down to the hand or the foot, along the nerve synapse. That's one kind of impulse. But an impulse can be a feeling. It can be a thought. And how it all began, the storage banks are mentioned. It says, then words suddenly formed on my lips again, which said, since ancient times, you have lived among the stars, and suddenly I knew who I was and how I am and what my mission on this earth is. And suddenly impulses came from somewhere, which I later recognized as impulses from the storage banks. And Billy talks about these good memories penetrating him at this time and showing him the way that he had to go in his life. So these impulses can give us memories. They can give us guidance. And Billy was impulsed or guided at a very, very young age by this information that is coming from this super intelligence that the Meyer information calls the creation, the universal consciousness. It's doesn't really correspond to our religious notion of God, though. It doesn't look over us or direct us per se. It impulses come from the storage bank. So we do maybe get direction that way. But it's a neutral, positive entity. It is really neither good nor evil. It builds universes as a part of its own evolution. And the point of our life is evolution. There are seven evolutionary steps that we go through in life that all human beings go through. The first stage is primitive, and at that stage we're learning language and still primitive men, maybe cavemen. And then we start to develop language and technology, and we go into what the Meyer material calls rational life. And most of the people on the earth are in this stage, this second stage of life called rational life. The third stage is intelligent life. Intelligent life is where we start to do genetic engineering. We start to do some space travel. And we're some of our societies are moving into that stage now. The fourth stage, the Meyer information refers to as real life. And real life is very, very strange. First, one of the things that's learned is societies become true space-faring civilizations, and they learn to conquer space and time. And to do that, they literally make everything in the ship, including the ship, turn into almost an energy state, and they leave our dimension, our layer of the universe, and go into an outer layer. Our universe is divided into layers, and then this outer layer, time is very different. So these ships will travel from star to star system, almost no time passing, and then rematerialize in this other star system. Incredible technology. But once we start to understand the creation, we'll also be able to do these things. Another very bizarre thing happens. We become very advanced genetic engineers, and we're actually able to engineer life, biological intelligence, actually. And Semyase's ship, for example, had a biological intelligence, which she could communicate with. This intelligence was sentient. It knew that it was alive, and it would communicate with Semyase. Essentially, her ship was a living being with a metallic hull. So that's the fourth stage of evolution. Very amazing indeed. Now the fifth stage is called the Ishwish. And in the past, there were Ishwishes on the earth, kings of wisdom. They're almost like titans. You could look at them. Their material consciousness is incredibly advanced, and they'll be able to do things like telekinesis, telepathy, look into the future, look into the past. Some of them in the past have even said they've been able to teleport. So this is a phenomenal thing. But after the fifth stage, human beings lose the need for a body, and they become half physical and half spiritual. And we stay in this stage for eons, just millions and millions of years. And eventually, we go to the seventh stage of evolution. And in the seventh stage, there are seven additional sub-levels. But basically, it goes from the first level is called Arahat Athrasat, or the seventh level is called the Patali level. And we go through all these levels. This takes millions of years of reincarnations. Eventually, we merge back with this universal consciousness. Now, not only is there a spiritual superintelligence which runs our universe, but there's the physical aspect of our universe. And if you would look at our universe, it would be like an egg. There are seven layers, much like a tree. If you cut a tree down, you can see these concentric circles. We have the core, and then if you go out from the core, 1, 2, 3, 4, this fourth layer is what's called the material belt. And all of these seven layers are rotating, counter-rotating against each other. But this fourth belt is where all the stars are. Are all the galaxies, all the solar systems, all the material, and just vast amounts of material. For example, our galaxy, our Milky Way galaxy, is 100,000 light years across. There are billions of galaxies. So the sizes here are beyond our wildest imagination. In our Milky Way galaxy, there may be 200 billion stars. And the Meyer information says there are, I think, 2,630,000 human civilizations, higher human civilizations in our galaxy alone. So we're not alone. We've never been alone. I think there are 7 million solar systems which can support human life. So humanity is fairly common in the universe. When we're born, but actually before we're born, while we're still in the womb, something happens. 21 days after the sperm fertilizes the egg, a little tiny bit of energy comes into our brain, into our midbrain, into an area called the superior colliculus. This tiny bit of energy, you can almost think of as a fragment of creation itself. It's called the spirit form. It's the real you. It's the part of you that survives through life, through death, through many, many lives and deaths. And eventually it's the part of you that will merge back into creation after millions and millions of reincarnations. That spirit form is housed in this area called the superior colliculus. You also have there something called the pineal gland. And this little tiny needle point of energy sends out energy itself in a lattice structure that gives life to every cell in the body. And Billy was told much about this spirit, this human spirit that we all have. And in his 10th contact with the woman named Semyase, she told him that The spirit form doesn't die. It doesn't sleep during our deepest sleep. It records all of our thoughts, all of our actions. And it records something called our impulsations. It even will tell us if our thinking is right or wrong, if we've learned to pay attention to it. It's a tiny fragment of the universal consciousness. She called it the seat of the infinite. She said that all power comes from the spirit. It's the wonder of all wonders, she said. She also said a human's yearning lies in the joy that remains for the imperishable life, the permanent peace, the spiritual and consciousness-related wealth that never fades, that lasts forever. So this yearning, this intense longing, it's for the spiritual existence. So we subconsciously, I don't think, fear death. Subconsciously, because subconsciously we have all of the knowledge of the predecessor personalities that we have been. The human spirit needs material consciousness to evolve, and it needs time in the physical where it experiences these things. And what happens is, after we've lived our life, our material life, and we die, the spirit form comes out of the body, as does the material consciousness. And an area in the spirit realm, every spirit form has something called the overall consciousness block, which processes the experiences that you had in the previous life. And it takes what's called the evolutive values, which can be love, which can be wisdom, which can be patience, and it takes those and puts them in a, what's called a neutral positive form and stores them. They're stored in the spirit form. And that's the way that wisdom builds on top of wisdom. Now, if everything was working typically, normally, the way things would on the earth and the spiritual plane, you would spend about 152 years in the spiritual realm before the universal consciousness would take your spirit form, put it back into a child 21 days after the sperm fertilizes the egg. But a new material consciousness goes into the child, to the new child. The material consciousness, the subconscious, will get the wisdom of the predecessor personalities. So that child has to grow up again. But it has a great advantage over the previous lifetime because it has all the experiences of that previous lifetime stored in the subconscious, plus all of the previous predecessor personalities stored in the subconscious, plus we'll get these impulses from the universal storage banks. And that's how wisdom builds on top of wisdom, lifetime after lifetime. And that's the purpose of our life, is to gather wisdom. And wisdom is a kind of knowledge that produces energy. And when we produce that energy of wisdom, we help the whole creation to evolve. That's why the creation, the universal consciousness, creates human spirit forms. It's almost a way for the universal consciousness to understand and experience material life. Because the real basis of creation is spiritual life. Now, the physical universe goes through many, many, many phases. 10 to the 49th power developmental phases, let's call them. And each one of these developmental phases is called a great time. And there's an archetypal Big Bang. We have 115 some trillion years of the expansion phase of the universe. And then a similar time for contraction, then the universe, the physical universe, goes dormant for a certain length of time, a certain number of trillions of years, and then there is another Big Bang, and then you go into development phase two. The Meyer material says there are 10 to the 49th power development phases. Now, the strangeness of all this is that there is no material belt. There is no physical in the second stage of evolution, or any of the other stages, for that matter. I don't know that that's particularly comforting. I really don't know what to think about that. It's very, very strange indeed. But that's the nature of our universe, at least according to the Meyer information. Now, one of Billy's writings that he pulled down from the storage banks is called The Goblet of Truth. And he pulled down 14 chapters from these storage banks. And I quoted some of the Goblet of Truth a little earlier when I talked about this dark order, the secret dark order that's forming. But there is this paragraph that I always quote. And one of the reasons I like to quote it is because it talks about reincarnation, and it talks about nature, and it talks about the ground principle of the universal consciousness, which is love, not romantic love. Romantic love in the Meyer material is called affective love, AFF, affective love, which is very temporal, which can be very unstable, which can actually be converted to rage sometimes. The Meyer information talks about the love that this universal consciousness radiates is effective love, EFF. And that kind of love is stable. And Semyase, Billy's second contact, explained this. She said that love and wisdom go together, and that creation and its laws are love and wisdom at the same time. So, back to the Goblet of Truth, there is this paragraph that says, "What the Truth Knows to Say." It's the title of the paragraph, and it goes on to say that rivers, stones, plants, seas, brooks, springs, the air and water, trees and bushes, everything that crawls and flies on the earth is a life form with a spirit form. And these spirit forms are on a journey through time, which involve many, many lifetimes. And that death is just the passage to rebirth, the passage into the world of pure spirit. And many of these creatures are wise and heightened with which communicate with one another. Now, I've talked about the word wisen and wisen heightened before. Well, in general terms, is something I learned recently, is that wisen, in general terms, can refer to a being, a wisen, where wisen heightened can just be the plural of wisen, meaning being. So in this case, wisen heightened is not used to refer to the universal consciousness, which sometimes it is. Wisen heightened instead refers to all the creatures in creation. And I always tell people, if you can, find a woodland or a forest in the summer with a lot of life and go into the forest and listen to the sounds of creation. Now, many of these creatures are connected by what's called these psychic swinging waves. But you can hear these creatures communicate. The birds sing. You can hear the frogs croak and the peepers peep and all of nature as it communicates. It's an interwoven web of life. And even the plants, my understanding is, have spirit forms. All animals, all humans, we have spirit forms. And we cycle from the physical to the spiritual, the immaterial, and then back to the physical. It's just a normal cycle of life, just like we have the sun rising and the sun setting. So there should be no fear of death. There's no being on the other side, in the spiritual realm, that's going to punish you for your failures in the material. You see, the purpose of our life is evolution. The purpose of our life is to gain wisdom. Again, wisdom is a kind of knowledge that produces energy, and we help the whole creation to evolve when we gather wisdom. We have a material consciousness and a spiritual consciousness. We have what's called the psyche, or the psyche, which is the block which controls our thoughts and feelings on the material side. Now, your psyche can become damaged. You can become insane. You can have nervous breakdown. Well, we also have a spiritual consciousness. And the regulating factor of the spiritual consciousness is called the gamut. And the gamut is invulnerable from harm. It cannot be harmed. Neither can the spirit form. It cannot be harmed by anything in the material. Not an atomic bomb, not sickness, not insanity. Nothing can harm your spiritual consciousness. And these two, they interact via impulses in some ways. The gamut supplies the psyche with these harmonious swinging waves. And the swinging waves are mentioned more than once in the Goblet of Truth. And I think it's an important notion to try to understand these swinging waves. And they help us also to understand our human spirit. And from what I've studied, the swinging waves can harness incredible power. And I think when we get up to the Ishwish level, we can influence material reality with our thoughts in very incredible ways. Billy has a book that's called The Might of the Thoughts. And he always describes our consciousness as a garden, that we should learn to care for our consciousness, that we should learn to analyze our own thoughts, that we should be reevaluating our thoughts, that we should, even if you have to say things out loud, to clarify, you need to clarify your thoughts. And this will give you a healthier psyche, because we have these sometimes unhealthy thoughts which spring up. They're kind of like weeds, and they can spread rapidly like they can through a garden. And you have to reach in and you have to pull out these weeds in order to refine your own thoughts. You're decluttering your consciousness. You're clarifying your thoughts. And this is part of what the Meyer material talks about when it says we should be able to analyze our own thoughts. And our thoughts should be balanced just like the universal consciousness is balanced. We should have a neutral, positive balance to our thoughts. Not too negative and not too positive, but very neutral, balanced. Elizabeth Moosberger, who was the wife of the guy that wrote And Still They Fly, Guido Moosberger, she described the might of thoughts. She said it this way. She said, "So the book which lies before you is dedicated to a humankind that is ill in its own consciousness, so that it finds again the creational natural way which it lost a long time ago." Now, we lost this creative natural way in the ancient, ancient past. There were a race of humans that visited the earth about 389,000 years ago. They were at a very high level of evolution, both in their material consciousness as well as their technology, and they were very large. They were what you might call titans. They came from the Lyra Vega system, but not in our space and time configuration. The universe is divided into dimensions or different space-time configurations, and these giants came from an older space-time configuration, but they came here in mass about 389,000 years ago, and they violated certain laws and regulations. But originally, when they came here, they brought a creational natural way with them, and they had 1,000-year lifespans. And Earth humans originally had these long lifespans until we left this creational natural way. And part of the creational natural way is learning to control your thinking in a neutral, positive way. Now, if something is asartang, it means to get very badly out of control of the good human nature. And that's one of the things that I wanted to talk about, is that we do have a good human nature, even though we can have negative repeating thoughts. And that's why it's so important to reach into our psyche and pull out those negative thoughts, because they can also repeat and create a disturbed psyche. But there is not a universal evil, according to the Meyer material. There is, however, an energy block around our planet that Billy describes as religious delusion and nonsense, and other negative thoughts which have been emanated by human beings who are thinking along such lines. And the people who are living and held in bondage by these belief systems are constantly influenced by this negative block of energy, like in a vicious cycle. And the Meyer information says there are no entities like the devil and Satan and demons. But there is this religious delusion that is still influencing people, and it will take about 800 years before people will occupy themselves with a realization that there is a truth. And there is something in the Meyer material that's called the effective truth. And it says that the creation, the life-giving energy of creation, is trying to come into harmonious concord with all people, with all worlds, with all animals, with all plants. And it wants to come into a harmonious concord. Concord means to fit together, to join together. And harmony can be like a chord that sounds from a symphony when all of the instruments at once play a beautiful chord that's in harmony, a chord that has a resolution that comes to a rest. Now that's the kind of activity the creation wants. It wants to come to a resolution. Now, I mentioned the human spirit as being untouchable and invulnerable. And I also mentioned that it has a swinging wave called the Schwingung in the German. And these are electromagnetic swinging waves that are described in the teaching of the spirit that are periodically built up, which are not bound to any matter. And these swinging waves include energies that form an immense might. The containing energy in these swinging waves is radiated in the form of a wave. And in physics, a wave is a disturbance or an oscillation that travels through matter and through space. Space is the boundless three-dimensional extent in which objects and events have a relative position and direction. Physical space is often conceived in three linear dimensions, although modern physicists also consider time as part of the fourth dimension, and they refer to it as space-time. And the wave is accompanied by a transfer of energy. The wave motion transfers energy from one part to another. And it's interesting to look at creation because there are these repeating patterns in nature, both at the smallest level and at the largest level. And these repeating patterns appear in the microcosm as well as in the macrocosm. The microcosm is the smallest level, like the atomic level. And we see electrons as they rotate around the nucleus of an atom. We see at the smallest level our circulatory system with a branching structure. We see our DNA in a spiral pattern. Well, the spiral pattern is also appearing in the seashell and in the spiraling arms of the galaxy. That branching pattern in our circulatory system appears as the branching pattern that appears when a lightning strikes or when the tree grows. And revolution is found all over nature. We see swirling patterns that form in rivers. We see the planets rotating around the stars. So anyway, we have at the microcosm and the macrocosm these repeating patterns in nature. And we have to understand that the creation expresses itself in these consistent repeating patterns. Now, is the German prefix for signifying the earliest, the most ancient, the initial, and the primeval. And Billy, in describing himself, stated that his spirit form had already been active for millions of years in the Lyra Vega systems and had come to the Earth voluntarily in a human body, in human bodies, as a matter of fact, as a teacher, as a herald, as a prophet. Now this, the teaching of the universal herald, it resonates throughout the universe in a continual pattern. And all of humanity has what's called a collective subconscious. And that's why when something happens on one side of the world, someone will discover something. That same discovery can be made a few days later. And we're all connected subconsciously in this way. And this is something that will probably be more important in the future as we learn more about this. But this very ancient spirit form that's referred to by the Mayan material as Nokodamian, my understanding is it incarnated the first time here on Earth about 389,000 years ago, perhaps as one of these original Lyrians. But it's also been incarnated again as another person named Semyase during the time of Atlantis and Lemuria. And then it also has incarnated as Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, and Muhammad. And in all of these previous lives, it has taught the information that I've been going over tonight as learning to control our thoughts, learning the nature of the universal consciousness, understanding reincarnation. All of these principles are a part of this ancient universal teaching, which got distorted in our religions over time. Now, one of the things that the Mayan material talks about is being responsible for your own thoughts and actions. That not only helps us to learn, and it helps us towards a betterment of not only our current lifetime, but also future incarnation. So we need to learn to take responsibility of our thoughts and our actions. And that means that there are no things like guardian angels looking over us. We have to be, so to speak, our guardian, our own guardian angel. Now, the human mind, as I mentioned earlier, oftentimes gets hung up on a thought, on an incorrect thought, and can repeat those thoughts over and over again. And that's why we need to learn meditation, because meditation allows us to clear our minds and free us from all thoughts. And typically, when you can clear your mind and focus on an image, you'll go into a deep state of relaxation and avoid verbal thoughts and push them right out and focus on a mental image. A lot of times, if you can visualize something that's blue and something that's green, something that's yellow and red, and visualize a thing each time, like a green hillside, a blue sky, a yellow sun, and a red rose, or a setting sun. And if you have something that you like to think about, like a beautiful scene with a mountain, focus on that and just push all other thoughts out. And then you'll clear your mind, and you'll naturally go into a deep state of relaxation. Now, there is also something called the peace meditation. And the peace meditation is done periodically, where we all meditate on the idea of peace. Now, meditation is a form of concentration that leads to the control of your mind. And most of the worries of the world are created by illogical thinking. By controlling our thinking, we start to learn how to control both our physical and mental health. One of the things that Playaran emphasizes is that our physical health is very much affected by our thinking. And we need to be in a constant state of evaluating our thinking. And meditation can be a method of creating a balance between negative and positive thinking. And this state of balance is called neutral thinking. And neutral thinking, neutrality, must be learned by every human being. Meditation allows you to see something clearly, observe it clearly, recognize it clearly. And it stops the pattern of uncontrolled thinking. Now, there are a couple sentences. Actually, there are 77 sentences that the Meyer material talks about that you can repeat that will help you in neutral thinking. And one of the sentences is that everything is achievable for me, and I master whatever I wish to accomplish. The second one is also very good. I always remain relaxed and thereby gain might over myself. So these are important ideas. And these things can be muttered several times a day, and they'll help return us to this neutral, positive state of thinking, which is really where we want to be. In fact, most Earth humans are so out of control in terms of their thinking, and our vibes are so negative. That's why the Pleiaren can't come into direct, open contact with us anymore, because they have evolved up to a level of empathy and telepathy where they're very much influenced by our negative thoughts. And it's not in a good way either. It causes for them a kind of uncontrolledness in themselves. So they have to wear a kind of technology when they're in our presence. Now, Billy, because he's an older spirit form, a very, very ancient spirit form, 9.6 thousand million years old, even though he's in a human body and has grown up among us, he's able to control his thoughts enough that he can have these contacts. And he can pass on this learning and wisdom. And I hope you've enjoyed the show this afternoon. I'm going to be on freedomslips.com tonight, Studio B. Be talking with Frosty Wooldridge, a great book, America on the Brink, that talks about overpopulation and other things. If you Google Ohio Exopolitics, you'll be able to find my other important website, which is exopoliticsohio.us, that has a lot of the Meyer notes and, well, my personal study notes, which you can take a look at. You can also go to the archive pages, download shows we've done in the past, both on Revolution Radio and on Blog Talk. It's a good source of information. Also, if you'll go to Future of Mankind, www.futureofmankind.co.uk, you can Google Billy Meyer Wiki. You can take a look at the English translations out there of the Meyer information. In any case, I hope you've enjoyed the show this afternoon. Hopefully you'll join me on freedomslips.com, Studio B, with my guest, Frosty Wooldridge. Have a good afternoon, folks. We'll talk to you probably tomorrow, hopefully. Have a good day.